to get you to get somewhere. Because I've been there and back again and back there. There's such a strong presence of God. And it's like there's no greater gift. Like, I see this man over here I haven't seen in, man, probably a year. And I think, man, what a great gift to see his face. And just, you know, I don't know if we're online. We can be. We don't need to be. I don't really care. They need to be. Get online. Thank you for being online. Amen. Thank you for joining us on this Christmas day. If you're wondering what's happening, the Lord is just blessing me. And I can't, it's like joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's no greater joy for a pastor than to see his people enter in and take a hold of what God has for them. As a parent, there's no greater joy to see your children enter into what God has for them to do. I can't express it. I can't do anything more than what I'm doing. I really can't. I ask the Lord, I need your anointing to get through this, and I get more messed up. When I ask for his help, I feel like I'm more helpless. So we're going to get through it. I've never felt his presence so strong in a service than I'm supposed to. You know, I do funerals, I do weddings, and it's like doing family members in a funeral, and he gives me the anointing to get through it. And then afterwards, I have my time where I'm just a pile of just nothing. But I'm at that place now, and I'm like, Lord, help me through it. And it's so strong, I'm trying to get through it. So, yeah, we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'm just trying. I can't even count to 10. There's places in God you must know. When you get there, I'm at the perfect peace. I'm at fulfillment. I'm like, if I were to go home right now, I feel like I would be at this place in heaven, in worship, and in all of God. And it's not anything I've did. It's just receiving the fullness of who God is. Amen. And that's what I want to get to you today. And we're going to receive an offering this morning. And you say, well, it's Christmas. Man, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The most popular scripture quoted is my offering verse today. Amen. Because God's love gives. Yes. And when you love God, you give. You give everything. And when the Lord touched me and my family and called us in the ministry, we gave our lives to him because of his love for us. We love him, we give. And it's through ministry, it's through finances, it's through life. And these men going and fulfilling the call of God on their lives, that's the love of God compelling them to give their life and give their all to God. And there's nothing that compares to that. There's no greater love, the Bible says, than a man lay down his life for a brother, for his brother. And I'd do anything for this man, for that, for any of you. I'd do anything. You say, what, is this a Christmas message? Yes. It's my Christmas message to you. I'll lay down my life for you. I'll do anything I can for God to touch your life and to God to transform your life. Anything I can do, any counsel, any finances, any whatever I can do, I'll do it. Because that's love. And that's what God did through his son. That's why Jesus was born in the manger, was the initiation of the love of God for humanity. He gave everything. That's my offering message to you. So hopefully you're ready to give, because that's all I really have. God so loved the world, He gave out of the abundance of your heart. The treasure that's in you, you give out of that place. It's the love of God that you do what you do. For God so loved the world that He gave. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is where your heart is also. And man, when your heart's for God, that's where your treasure. You don't want anything else. If people, what do you want for Christmas? I don't need anything. I got what I need. I got everything that I have need of. And it's found in Him. I love gifts. If you want to get me a gift, I'm not going to stop you. But just know ahead of time, that material gift is not going to compare to the gift I already have. Because nothing on this earth compares to Jesus. Amen. Nothing. There's no greater gift. So I owe my life to Him. And we as a body of believers, we owe our life to the Lord. Everything is His. We're on the altar. We give it all to Him. Amen. So I just want to encourage you this morning, as you give this Christmas, the Bible says it's better to give than receive. Why is that? There is more in the giving aspect of your life than anything compared to receiving. Anything. That's why as a believer, when you receive Jesus, you can't help but do things for somebody else. Because that's where that it stirs the fulfillment of the gift of God in you to give to other people. That's why you give to the poor. That's why you give to the widows. That's why you give your life. You give your finances. You give everything because you realize what you received. Hallelujah. Ushers, I hope you're ready. If you're listening online, which obviously you are, there's ways to give. You can't see them. Okay, great. They can. Amen. I am wonderful at this. I've been doing it for years. Can't you tell? You can give by cash or check. You can give by text. You can give in Venmo at NFC Give. There's many ways to give. Go on the website. You'll figure it out. Amen. Amen. But God will honor your giving. He'll honor your faithfulness. See, the world would say, well, I've given all that I have to my family and to gifts and my bank account. Give to God above everything else. For God so loved the world. He did not make a decision based off of our performance. He made a decision based off of His love. So your giving isn't a performance. All right? It's not a performance. It's your love for God that you give. Amen. And we all love the Lord. Amen. Ushers, serve the people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to make it through. I'm saying that because I'm believing that. Oh, man. Oh, God is so good. Oh, His presence. Man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God loves a cheerful giver. Giving finances is really nothing compared to the gift that you've received in Christ. Man. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. We have great ushers here at New Freedom. They're not just great looking. They're great men. Amen. Great men of God. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you bless the giver, Lord God. Your word says it. And your word does not return void. Your word says that as we sow, we shall reap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the measure that you give, it'll be measured to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Father, I thank you on this Christmas Eve day, this Christmas Eve service, Father God, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you that we are givers because you first gave to us, Lord. I speak a blessing over each and every giver, Lord. Bless this seed. Bless this offering and these tithes, Lord God. We give them to you, Lord God, because our heart and lives are sold out to you. You are our Lord and you are our Savior. You are our all in all. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for a great message? Amen. Me too. Hallelujah. I'm ready for a great message because it's the Holy Spirit that gives the message. It's not the person. Remember that. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the message. It's the Holy Spirit anointing on the Word of God. And I'm going to pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you that your anointing is on your Word, Father God. And your Word does not return void, but it goes and it does exactly what you intended to do, Father God. I thank you that every hungry heart here this morning on this Christmas Eve, Lord, I thank you that you do not only fill them, but you fill them to overflowing, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for being in our midst here this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us, directing us, comforting us, and filling us to overflowing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. If you could turn to Luke chapter 2. The title of my message today is, Did You Get the Message? Did you get the message? Hallelujah. Luke 2:8, we're going to talk about the shepherds. And when you understand this and see this, what I am talking about today, it's a joy on the inside as a believer. When you understand the joy on the inside as a believer, there's nothing that compares to it. There's nothing that can touch it. And I want to read something to you before I get started in my message. That it says there are two types of joy. There is joy that is a reaction of happy events, which is temporary. And there is a joy that happens in spite of circumstances, which is a strong and lasting. This strong and lasting joy can only happen by following God and living with His attitude toward life. Happiness based on events is a part of life, a good part of life. But if that is all we can count on, we have to constantly keep creating happy events to keep us upbeat. That's the world's happiness. Constantly having events that are positive take place to keep us at a place of happiness. Those who know the joy that comes from God don't need perpetual events to keep them happy. They learn how to develop inner joy in spite of circumstances because they know that no matter what happens, God offers hope and promise. So it's not events in the natural that make you happy. It's an inner joy and an inner peace on the inside that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And events come and go. Positive and negative, but they do not affect the joy on the inside. I'll say this as well. Joy is a celebration of walking with God. It is inner happiness that lasts despite the circumstances around us because it is based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is peace with God. It is realizing how privileged we are to know Jesus as Savior. To have our sins forgiven, and to be friends with God Almighty. And to be certain we will live forever with Him in heaven. It is an experience, that dramatic change that occurs in our lives when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our hearts and our thoughts. That's the joy I want to talk to you about today. That's the joy that was brought, that was found in a manger over 2,000 years ago. That came to live on the inside of you. See, we celebrate the birth of Christ. And as I read today, they're celebrating the prophecy that's coming to pass. But the prophecy came to pass. So now it's not what's coming, it's what's already happened. Amen. We're not waiting for the joy. We're not waiting for the soon coming king. We have the king living on the inside. We have the victory already. Church, you got to grab a hold of this. We have the joy already as a child of the Most High God. You don't have to go to the manger to find the joy. You receive Jesus and he is joy. It's not something around you, it's something in you. And when you grab a hold of this truth, there's nothing that can stop it. Isaiah 9:6 says, this is a scripture we share all the time and minister on at Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So that prophecy, thousands of years ago, is talking about the birth of Christ. Talking about what we're celebrating tomorrow. And what took place has already taken place. That prophecy has been fulfilled. So the peace is there. The joy is there. The counselor is present. All that is obtained in when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's not something you're striving for. It's something you receive as a gift. See, God is not performance-based. His joy is not based off of what the world says joy should be or not. You don't have to go chasing. You don't have to go to church to find joy. You find Jesus and you have joy. You just come to church to express the joy that the Lord's doing in you with your brother and your sister that's full of joy too. And then you have a river of joy flowing at a church service. Amen. That allows you to worship God. That allows you to be with like-minded people and pray together, encourage each other, edify each other, and be a family, and then release them in the ministry and go spread the love and the joy other places. Amen. That's what it's about. See, if you look at the natural, you look at things totally different. You see them very narrowly. Very short-sighted in the moment. But if you bypass that and look into your spirit, out of your spirit, you see positive, you see multiplication, you see growth. And you see joy in every situation. You say, Pastor, every situation? Yeah, I can find God in every situation. You say, even the most difficult one? Absolutely. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around for good. So by faith, I don't care what happens, by faith, the Lord's going to do something great in it. Every time you say, well, I feel these symptoms. Well, that's why the healer is here. Come on. Lay hands on you. Rebuke the devourer and be made whole. In Jesus' name. So it doesn't matter because it's the joy on the inside that speaks to the situation. My God is going to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And when you have that, you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can't stop. You cannot stop smiling when you have the joy of the Lord. You talk to somebody that just gets saved. You can't mess with them. They're like, they're on cloud nine. Why? Because their sins have been removed. Yeah. They're not looking at the circumstance anymore. They're looking at the Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Everybody find Luke chapter 2? Yeah. Amen. I'm glad you did. Praise God. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Ha! I love this. Things happen in the midnight hour. Come on. Shepherds watching over their flock by night. So here we have it. Just imagine it. It's not hard to imagine because we could be outside the building and we could almost instantly be watching over a flock. Yeah. Just so happens that's the way it is here on the Eastern Shore. Keeping watch over their flock by night. So they're being faithful. They're doing what they're supposed to. They're putting their hand to something. Aren't they? Watch this now. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. So let me just give you the scenario. You're in the middle of a field watching over your flock, watching for the wolves, watching for things that are predators that are going to come after your sheep. All of a sudden, the whole field turns, it glows all around you. All of a sudden, it's like you're in a stadium and all the lights turn on. In the middle of nowhere, no electric, all of a sudden the glory of God shows up. Notice, the Lord shone around them. So it wasn't just a beam on one. It lit the field up. Yeah. It would scare you, wouldn't it? Yeah. Think about that. This is before they even understood electric.
Exactly. Yeah.
They didn't even know what electric or light bulbs were. The glory of the Lord shone around them. I think it's very interesting at times that the Lord comes to us at the most unopportune times to show his presence, to show himself strong. Because the glory wouldn't seem as radiant if it was noonday. Would it? Sure, it'd still be bright. But when it's dark, can you imagine? You can look at a stadium miles away and see the glow in the sky. Think about that. The Lord came and ministered to these shepherds that were in the middle of the dark watching over their sheep. Here we go. Here we go. Verse 9 again, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were greatly afraid. This is the same scenario as Mary. There's a lot of angelic activity going on, and the first thing said every time is, don't be afraid. Joseph, don't be afraid. Mary, don't be afraid. Shepherds, don't be. Why? Because the Messiah is showing up. And I tell you today, don't be afraid when you see the glory of God show up in your life. In miracles and the supernatural start operating.
Yeah.
The first thing you're going to do when the supernatural operates and there's a glow in your bedroom or something happens where an angel shows up, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to be afraid. To be not afraid. Because when God shows up, it's always good.
Yeah.
It's always good news. My main text, verse 10. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Amen. Good tidings. What are good tidings? Good tidings are information that you will like. Proclaiming positive news. So when someone comes and brings good tidings, that's good news. Very, very good news. A good tiding is a very, very positive piece of information that is to the point of being life-changing. That's what good tidings are. Glad tidings are good tidings. See, why is it good tidings? Why do you think the Messiah, Jesus being born, is a good thing? Why? Because sin has had a grip on mankind for generations. Generations have failed. Man has failed miserably. Think about it. Man's history is failure up to that point in every way. Failure to obtain what God had intended. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned, failure has been the final authority in man's life. Romans 3:23, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. Man tried to obey the word and couldn't get it done. Flesh has ruled over man for generations. You say, this isn't real exciting. This is what makes the birth and the resurrection so exciting when you realize all the failures that take place and how sin directed man for generations and then a Savior came and delivered him from it all.
Amen.
This is what makes it miraculous is man science has tried. Philosophy has tried. They build towers. They build temples. They build all kinds of things to worship to try to get closer to God. Even the Ten Commandments didn't get it done. It helped lead them and show them that they needed a Savior. Everything man touched failed till Jesus showed up. And then from that point on, everything man touches through God prospers. Hallelujah, because sin has no power. Sin has zero power when Jesus shows up. That's why it's good tidings. That's why it's good news. The Messiah was born. The prophecy came to pass. The things they've been wishing for, dreaming for, praying for, reading about, came to pass this day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Man, church, you got to grab all. I can't make you happy. I can't give you gas under your chair to make you full of joy. You got to get filled with it. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to show you, my golly, everything that was going on in the old covenant, everything man tried to do, failed. Failed. I was a failure till I knew the Lord. And I know that sounds like I wasn't a failure in man's eyes, but I surely couldn't get to heaven the way I was going. So to me, if you can't get to heaven, you're failing. You're failing. No more. Everybody say no more. Hey, I'm no failure no more. Glory to God, I got Jesus. That's the good news. That is a good news. See, man had greed, and greed is what dominated their motivation. All through Scripture. Even now, greed is motivating people. The love of money is the root of all evil. Greed, power, is motivating people to this day, to this moment. Until Jesus comes, greed is still going to be the motivation of the world. But it's the opposite with the kingdom of God. Love is the motivation. Love is the motivation. So love always motivates you to do the kingdom of God, to share the love of Jesus, to go to places people don't want to go to. See, God so loved the world that he sent his son. It didn't matter that it was in a manger or in an inn or in a stable or whatever it may be. He came. The whole point is he came and was born and fulfilled the prophecy. Amen. You can't get any better than Christmas and Easter. You can't do any better than that. There's nothing greater. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the life-changing power of God. See, governments rose up and failed. Governments are trying to still control things. It's not going to work. There's no peace treaty out there that's going to work. It's all temporary. It's all money-driven. All these things are man-made. And if you live by that, you'll die by that. But when you ask Jesus into your heart and you receive him, life changes. You're not in this realm anymore. You're not of this world anymore. You're of a greater world. Amen. Thank God Jesus came down to give us a new place, a new zip code. A new zip code. You got the zip code of heaven. Amen. Amen. And so if that's your home, that's the only place you should be asking for information and getting mail from. Get your information directly from heaven. That's your home. This is not my sermon. This is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Zip code. Amen. Zip code. What zip code are you a part of? Don't look at man's zip code. Doesn't man's zip code limit you to a certain place? The Spirit, there's no distance in the spirit realm. So the kingdom of God, you can go where you need to go, do what you need to do, and the Holy Ghost is with you because your zip code is wherever you tread your foot. Because you are of the kingdom of God. You are of heaven. So wherever you tread your foot, whether it be Federalsburg or whether it be towns around the Delmarva, when you go on vacation, you're carrying the kingdom of heaven zip code. And then you download from heaven what it is that God has for you in that place. And whatever sin and darkness, you just step in there with light. And all of a sudden, that area becomes light because you showed up. Yeah. Amen. That's the authority of the power of God. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus does. That's what came down and was born in the manger, came to whip the enemy and give us life and life more abundant. Hallelujah. This will give you joy. If this doesn't give you joy, nothing else will. I'm telling you right now, nothing will give you joy like the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Watch this now. The second part. So there's good tidings, which are positive news of great joy. That word great there is megas, which is where they get magnum or mega is where you get the word mega, which means this: exceedingly great, high, large, or supreme. So exceedingly great joy, high joy, large, supreme joy. If you have supreme joy, there's no other joy that can compare to it. There's no other joy that can compare to supreme joy. So when you understand what Jesus did and what the angel was prophesying and speaking to the shepherds is, guess what? What's coming down is going to give you more joy than anything you got here on earth. Come on. There's nothing compares to the joy of the Lord. Nothing. Nothing, because it's supreme. And when the Word of God is your supreme authority, there's no other word that comes close to the Word of God. So what you hear on this earth, what man says, it's not even in the same realm. So money, finances, business, corporate world, all that kind of stuff, it has no comparison to the joy that the Lord can bring to somebody's life. No comparison, because great joy is supreme joy. And this is what came down. This is what happened. Nothing compares. There's no equal. Jesus comes in like a flood and overwhelms you with heavenly joy. The atmosphere I was in before during the worship, that was heavenly joy. You say, well, you were crying. That's the joy of the Lord. That's the joy of the Lord. I can't explain it. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're like, you have a hard time reading. Do you have issues reading? No, I don't. I can read very well. But when there's an overwhelming joy, it affects that. It affects my natural ability to do natural things. Amen. And that joy will cause you to do supernatural things that you naturally couldn't do. Think about it. Supernatural, if you want to do a supernatural work for God, the joy of the Lord has to be present to do it, because you won't think you can do it otherwise. You'll get to a place where you don't care, and you'll just go and you'll step out and you'll do it, because the joy on the inside compels you. Because wherever joy is, peace is. Peace and joy, they work together. They work together. They're always together. If you have joy, you have peace. And if you do not have peace, you don't have joy. They go together. You cannot separate joy and peace, ever. So when you have the kingdom of God, the peace of God on you, you have joy. You can sleep at night. You can function. And nothing bothers you because you have the joy of the Lord. Amen. You have the peace of God. They're two different words. They operate in their own realm, but they operate together all the time. Just like faith and love operate together. You know, the love of God, faith comes with the love of God. Faith worketh by love. They go together. Amen. So joy and peace go together. So when God's joy hits you and you're laughing uncontrollably, you are in perfect peace. You don't really care about much of anything, because the joy of the Lord is overwhelming you. Amen. And that's what happens. That's what the angel is sharing here, is I bring you good news. When you read this, I'm telling you, the good news isn't coming. The good news already happened. This is a past experience. Hear me out. We're not waiting for the Messiah to come. We have the Messiah. We have the risen Savior. We have the one that defeated sin, sickness, and disease. Amen. The church should be overwhelmed with joy and peace because they know their God. When you know your God, nothing else even compares to it. You say, why are you preaching so hard? Because it means so much to me. This is the answer. I got the answer. I got the answer to all of life's problems. You say, well, you don't understand my problem. I don't need to understand. I got mega joy. I got mega joy that'll handle your minor problem.
Come on.
Amen. Your flesh may call it a mega problem.
Come on.
But God says, I've taken care of it. I am your perfect peace. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. What's rest? Rest is peace. Rest is joy. In the presence of my enemy. Fullness of joy. I'll prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Help. My cup runneth over, says the Lord. What is that? That's joy just flowing out of you. Just radiating out of you. You say, that's. I don't know if that's possible. Yes, it's very much possible. I'm in a place right now. I'm in a place right now. It doesn't matter what you think about me. It doesn't matter what face you make at me. I have joy unspeakable right now. I am in the greatest place I've ever been. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I feel wonderful. But I don't really care how I look. Because here I'm up here blowing my nose, crying like a baby, looking like a fool, and I don't really care because I have mega joy.
Amen.
And it's not an event that dictates it.
Come on.
It's not a church service that gives me mega joy. It's God's presence that you carry everywhere you go. You can have joy on the inside everywhere you go, all times. The only reason it doesn't operate is we allow the circumstances around us to steal our joy. It's the only, the enemy cannot take your joy. He cannot take supreme joy. He can't. He can take happiness if it's on events that he controls, because the enemy will steal events from you that you want to happen to make you feel. Like, for instance, it's the holiday season. It's Christmas. Everybody wants to get around family. Well, some family couldn't make it. Well, that event may steal your happiness, but it doesn't have to steal your joy. You can still have joy even if you don't see all your family members. You can still have joy if you see family members you don't want to see. Come on. Don't look at me like that. You all have them. Amen. You pray for them and you see them and you pray that you'll be able to contain yourself and be a light to them when you see them.
Amen.
Come on. That is the joy of the Lord. It is not swayed by anything in the natural. Never. Even thoughts. You can have thoughts here and there. Thoughts, emotions here and there. That's the happiness of the world based off of events that take place. But no event can take your joy away. Ever. If they take your joy away, they're taking Jesus away. They can't take Jesus away, can they? Nobody can steal your salvation. They can't steal your joy either. You have to give things up. Don't give up your joy. Don't give up your salvation. Amen. Don't give up the Holy Spirit. Don't give those things up. The enemy's been defeated, so if something's defeated, it can't take over. You understand what I'm saying? If there is a defeated foe, he has zero power. If he has zero power, he can't do anything. He can make you think a certain way, and if you receive that, then you're relinquishing your joy and the rights that are yours. But Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have to worry about the devil one lick. Hallelujah. Great joy. This is the joy that we have as a believers. This is good news, church. Did you get the message? Did you get the memo? Hallelujah. You got the joy of the Lord. It's your strength. It's your power. It's everything. 1 Peter 1:8. You can hold your Bible at Luke 2. We're coming back. But 1 Peter 1:8-9 says, "Whom have not seen you love, though now you do see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Joy inexpressible. Joy, nothing can give joy like the joy of the Lord. You can't express, it's so great, you can't even express it. I'm just tapping on the joy of the Lord. There's so much more God has for me that as I pursue him and press into him and allow him to operate, that joy just starts bubbling in me. Yeah. When I'm in God's will, when I'm obedient to what he's saying, it's like joy instantly comes. Yeah. You know, when everybody's been here where you've been in the will of God or you've been kind of out of the will of God, in the will feels a whole lot better. Yeah. You have peace and you have joy, you have fulfillment, all those things. But out of the will of God, things feel rough, things are strenuous, stressful, and then you're like, all of a sudden the light goes off. Oh, I made this decision, or I didn't do this, and it put me in a place where my joy feels like I can't sense it. You know, that the peace isn't there. Well, that's why we need to pursue God and ask for forgiveness and just step back over into the joy. Okay? Don't judge yourself. Don't condemn yourself. Just say, well, I missed it. Let's go get into joy again, and I'll renew my spirit, and it'll come alive again. Amen. And that's all. It goes from, it's a moment. You can have a moment where you say, I missed it. I repent, and here, I'm back in the flow of what God has. Amen. That's the coolness of God. That's the awesomeness of God. That's the greatness of God. Amen. So great, I can't even express myself. See, this is also an interesting truth here. See, it's greater because I can only express it for myself. The joy that the Lord reveals to me is because of things that I deal with, things that I look at, things that I'm going through. But I can't necessarily understand the joy that others go through, because that's an intimate thing with the Lord for them. And I'm saying that because I want you to realize that joy looks and operates different through each individual, because the Lord deals with each individual differently. Amen. Based off of what you're going through, based off of what you've been through. But it's still the same joy, and it expresses itself the same way. I'm saying this to help you realize that I don't want people to judge people based off of their joy level. Because some people don't show as much expression, but they're full of joy. And other people show it over the top. Amen. Based off of giftings, based off of personalities and things like that. But joy operates the same way. It comes from above. It enters in you. You operate from it, and you walk in peace. Amen. And you can every single person, no matter the age or anything, can walk in God's peace and His joy every day. Receive that joy, unspeakable joy, unexpressible joy. Receive it on the inside. Amen. It turns into a river of joy. It turns into a flow, a lifestyle. Not just a sporadic, oh, I have joy on Sunday when I'm around churchgoers. It turns into, oh, I have joy on Monday too. Amen. I have joy at work. I have joy when I'm around people that aren't joyful. I still have joy. What do you think draws people to the Lord? Your light, that joy on the inside of you draws people. So when you cultivate that joy, you're a generator to the light of Jesus on the inside of you. And that peace and that joy, you get around people and you talk to them. And even the other day at the nursing home, I prayed with a guy and he received the Lord right there in his bed at the nursing home in Chestertown. And the nurse was outside getting medicine ready. And she taps me on the, she's like, I need prayer. Can you pray for me? She's like, my daughter's going through this. And she listed these things. Man, I was like, what's her name? And I prayed. And I mean, just tears. And it's like, I didn't do anything. That prayer in there wasn't anything special. But God was there. The presence of God was there. And I'm like, I wasn't even prepared to minister to this person, because I was ministering to the other one. But that prayer in there, the anointing hit her. And she's like, I need what you're talking about. I need breakthrough. And I'm like, sure. And I didn't know how to pray for her. But I just asked the Lord, show me. And we just prayed it. And she's like, thank you so much. I gave her a card. I said, she may be watching. I don't know. God bless you if you are. But what I'm saying is that joy is contagious. Amen. And when you operate in it, expect others to be like, man, I'm going through it. Can you pray for me? Because people will be attracted to joyful people. Amen. If you're grumpy and sad all the time, you're gonna attract grumpy and sad. Amen. Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. And here at New Freedom, we are joy-filled people. Yeah. Amen. We are joy-filled people, full of the love of Jesus. And people come through that door and they're like, there's something about this church. What is it? It's the presence of joy and peace in the Holy Ghost in this church. We allow an atmosphere of joy. Amen. Because we don't want anything but it. So why not? Why open it up to anything else? Amen. Isn't that right back there? Why open it up to any? There's nothing better than joy. There's nothing better than the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 68:3. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Woo. Whew, it's not just a rejoice now. Exceeding rejoicing. Whew, hallelujah. I'll have my moment with the Lord and we'll get back to the sermon. Give me a moment. Now, what I'm saying is you just have joy and you rejoice exceedingly. And it's unending. And that's what heaven is like. God is only preparing us for heaven. That's what our church services should be, preparation for heaven. Praising God, worshiping God, sharing testimonies, getting into the Word. Right? That's all heaven's going to be. And it's going to be full of joy. People laughing, people dancing, people worshiping. No sin. Where joy of the Lord is, sin can't operate. It can't. Sin does not operate where joy is present, because sin destroys, sin weakens, sin kills. So when you get rid of sin and you allow God in, joy, peace, love, comfort, all the fruits of the Spirit start operating. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness. All those things operate because the joy of the Lord is there. The presence of God is there. So when you're going through life, if you're not sensing or feeling the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you got to ask yourself, why not? Why am I not feeling this joy? Because Jesus gives me good news of great joy. Amen. Good news of great joy. Psalms 23:5 says, you prepare, I quoted this earlier, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over or runneth over. If a cup runs over, that means it's full within itself and there's extra coming out. A cup doesn't run over if it isn't full yet. Amen. And when you get full of joy, I mean, when I study for my sermons, it's like I come Sunday morning not trying to get filled up. I come Sunday morning to just spew it out, if you can't tell. Amen. Just pour it out. Just let it out. Amen. He doesn't break the vessel and it just goes out. I'm saying it comes over the top. Amen. And if you know it's coming out of you, you know you're full on the inside. If it's not coming out of you, that means you're not full yet. Remember that. Now, I'm not just talking about joy. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about your prayer life. If you're not praying for others, you need to be praying more yourself. Not to yourself. You need to be building yourself up in prayer. Amen. Every area you're not releasing of the kingdom of God is because it's not full in yourself. That's a prophetic word for somebody. If you're not able to share it with others, that means you're not full yourself in every single area. This is coming to me. This is by the Spirit of God. No matter what it is, sharing Jesus Christ with people, soul winning to somebody, you don't have it deep enough in the inside because it's not coming out. Come on. Sharing about healing. If you cannot share about healing or confident to lay hands on somebody, it's because you're not confident in yourself that the Lord can heal you. Come on, this is deep. I know it's Christmas time, but I'm giving you a gift. It's called revelation. Amen. I'm giving you this is powerful. This is powerful because the preach in me, I got to be able to preach to myself and make sure everything's in order on the inside before I release it on the outside. Because my words will go like this. They won't do anything. There won't be anointing on what I'm doing unless I know the anointing is in me. You see what I'm saying here? Everything we do, if we can't do it out, we haven't done it in yet. I know that sounds like a strong word, but it's about as loving as I can make it be. Amen. It's really obvious. I do have water, but I'm not going to make a mess. You got to get it in here, it comes out. I'm not saying poke a hole in the side. I'm saying it's got to come up over the top. You got to be filled on the inside. And when you're full of joy, you can actually counsel people and talk to people, and it does not affect you what they're going through because you're so full of joy, nothing, the enemy can't put anything in because you're full already. If you have a cup of water that's full, you can't add water to it. It comes out. Amen. So when somebody calls you and they're struggling, your frame of mind and your joy level will dictate how you minister to them. Because if you're at a low level, you'll minister low. Yeah, or you will just take on what they're doing and you'll just have a party together of poor, poor, pitiful me. Yeah. Right? Isn't it the best Christmas service you ever been to? Jeez. All right. Back to Luke 2. Back to the last part. Verse 10, the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. There's no segregation with God. Every single person, there's good news for every person. Amen. Glad tidings, good news, great joy for every single person. I don't care if they live in the slum. I don't care if they live in a tent camp. And I don't care if they live in a mansion. That does not compare to what we're talking about. And every single person needs it.
from the highest up to the ones that are at the very bottom. Those that are in the hospital and those that are running marathons. It doesn't matter where you are or what you've done. God's joy needs to be a part of your life. Because Jesus needs to be a part of your life. Because there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest joy you'll ever have, is knowing your salvation. Amen. The greatest joy you'll ever have. And because once you know your salvation, you'll be so full of joy. You'll be like, hey, I got something you need. The Lord set me free from fear. The spirit of fear gripped my life. And as soon as the Lord broke it off to me, I was like, I have no fear of anything. I don't have no fear of dying. I could drop dead right here and I wouldn't care one bit because I'd be in glory. Yeah. Sorry, you may miss me. Maybe you won't miss me. But it doesn't bother me. I'll be in heaven. I know that sounds so not nice. But let's be honest. Man, glory is so much better than dealing with sin on this earth. There's no sin up there. It's joy all the time. But I'm going to tap into that heaven now and start walking in joy. Now, I'm not waiting till I get to heaven to celebrate my salvation. Man, I'm celebrating my salvation right now. Hallelujah. I'm fulfilling the call of God on my life, and it is fun. It's very exciting. You say, well, it's got to be stressful, Pastor. Not when you give it to the Lord. The anointing, man, the anointing. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I don't have to carry anything. Now, if I walk in my flesh, then it gets heavy real quick. And then I know that I'm walking in my flesh because it's like, golly day, oh, I got to deal with this or this. No, I don't have to deal with it. The Lord has to deal with it. I just got to get my stinking thinking in line. Amen. Here we are. For all people, that means all humanity can receive this joy. All humanity can have this joy. And all humanity can carry this joy forever. Amen. All people. There is not one person that you can list or say that is not a recipient of the joy of the Lord. Not one. I know down at the river, you'll experience down in Florida, you'll experience all shapes and sizes. Big church. All walks of life enter in there, and the Lord just touches them and transforms their lives. That's the church, man. That's the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where the Lord's calling you. Doesn't matter what college that the Lord has taken you to. It may be a heathen school run by heathens for generations. But you know, the schools that started out saying they were godly are some of the most heathen schools now. What makes... Never mind. When you go there, You got the Lord with you. I don't want to get on that. It's Christmas. I can't believe I'm preaching like this on Christmas. I'm supposed to have a religious service. Let me just share a few scriptures and we'll enjoy our Christmas. Praise God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Guess what? Where peace is, joy. We have joy with God. When we're justified, when you know you're saved, you have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, it's not just joy, it's rejoicing. Rejoicing is an outflow of your joy. It's a speaking out. See, you can have joy on the inside, but if you're not rejoicing, you're not releasing your joy. You say, well, I can't sing. Singing is like a small portion of rejoicing. You can walk down the street rejoicing. You can walk down the street praising God. You can be thanking God all the day long. How do you pray without ceasing? In the rejoicing. Because your mind and your heart is fixed on God. Constantly. Constantly. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. If I don't have joy, I'm not in God's presence. Let's just be frank about it. Or let's be Bob about it. Or Jim about it. Think about it. Where joy is God's presence. I'm not talking about an event. I'm not talking about Christmas opening my gift. I'm talking about knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you have Jesus and you have the Holy Ghost, if you do not have joy operating in your life, the presence of God isn't there. The presence of God and joy are just like peace and joy. They go together. So we need to figure out why we don't have joy. And whatever that is, cut that thing off and say, I don't need that. If it's a thought, if it's a feeling, if it's a person that just just make some room and allow the presence of God to come. Amen. Allow the presence of God. Get over into His presence and you'll be filled with joy all the days of your life. You wonder why here at New Freedom, the ushers, they protect the altar. Why? This is the anointing and the presence of God is up here. And we're not going to allow anybody else, when someone comes up here for prayer, that's them and the Lord. They are in the presence of God and they're going to receive the presence of God. And they're going to walk here better than what they came. And I'm not going to allow anybody else to mess with someone that's in the presence of God. Why? Because that's God's doing business with them. And a lot of people don't understand it. I want to do this. No, let the Lord do it. He'll do a better job. Amen. That's why I don't preach my sermon. I preach His sermon. And that's why I say things I normally don't say. Amen. God wants something to be done in people's lives. Amen. I don't know where I was. Psalms 5:11, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Hallelujah. That's why we praise God. We love Him. Thank you, Lord. That's why we give offering. Thank you, Lord. He's everything. And we're joyful all the time. All the time. Hallelujah. Last scripture, Psalms 144:15. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is their Lord. Happy. Happy all the time. Happy all. You say, you don't seem as happy as you were. Oh, I'm really happy. I'm having a wonderful time up here. I'm going to spend time with family, and then I'm coming back for evening service. Amen. There's nothing better than having church and food. Amen. There's nothing better than being in the presence of the body of Christ, celebrating the Lord in which we live for, the Lord in which we've received. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no greater joy than to be in the presence of God. To be in the presence of God. I didn't lie to you, but let me read verse 14. Verse 13, excuse me. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying. So here we go. The angel spoke to the shepherds. And then all of a sudden, once they talked about Jesus in verse 11, that He was coming, suddenly. Everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
Things suddenly happen with God. All of a sudden, suddenly you become in His presence. Suddenly, joy floods your soul. Suddenly, a miracle takes place. Suddenly, you get a call to start a church. Suddenly, these things happen in the midst of nowhere. Suddenly. Guess what? Today's a suddenly. Every moment of a day is a suddenly. So suddenly, the Lord may be speaking to your spirit. Suddenly, right now. To do something you've never done before. There's peace coming into people's hearts right now, suddenly. Suddenly. Suddenly heaven moved on your behalf. Suddenly you received a word. When you're in joy, your life is a suddenly. You don't know what's getting ready to happen, but you know it's good. You say, why do you want to live like that? I always want good things. So I'm expecting suddenlies all the time. All the time. Suddenly. That word's powerful. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What a wonderful statement. All of heaven started rejoicing. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Joy on earth. Goodwill toward men. I want you to have the best Christmas you've ever had. The best Christmas, you say, well, I don't have anything scheduled. It doesn't have to be a schedule. That what makes Christmas really fun is when it's unscheduled. Because when it's unscheduled, you can allow the Lord to do some things. See, we have a tendency to schedule the Lord right out of Christmas. Hey, here comes my preaching, but I'm going to tone it down. I know we've been here a while. I love you guys, and I want to see you tonight. But what I'm saying is we must be open to the joy of the Lord and allow His presence to continually operate and function through us. Allow suddenlies to take place, because when your mind is open by faith to God, suddenlies can flow. Suddenly there's a check in the mail. Suddenly this happened. Suddenly that happened. Suddenly somebody came and fixed what I've been trying to work on forever. Suddenly somebody raked my yard. Suddenly somebody did this. Suddenly this happened. Suddenly the pastor showed up on my step to pray for me when I was in despair. Suddenly these things happen. I may not show up on your step, so if you need a suddenly, I want you to come up here this morning and get your suddenly now. Amen. I'm joking, but I'm being serious. Amen. That's the altar call. Suddenly, God's going to change your life. Listening online, suddenly, God is going to intervene through your radio, through your phone, through your laptop, and touch your life. Because that's how God operates. He operates on the suddenly. When you least expect it, God shows up. Amen. He's our ever-present help in time of need. Everyone bow your heads and close your eyes. There's some suddenlies going to happen here today on this Christmas Eve 2023. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the suddenlies of heaven, for the joy of the Lord just to suddenly come upon people right now. Hallelujah. Right now, listening online, the joy of the Lord just flood like a river into their home. All the worry, all the fear just rush right out of the house right now in Jesus' name. Worry, fear, anxiety that's gripping people and families' lives. Finances, people are so worried about gifts and getting enough gifts for everybody. The greatest gift is free. But it'll cost you a surrender. It'll cost you a surrender. If you want the best gift ever given to man, His name is Jesus Christ. The greatest gift ever given to humanity is the man, Jesus Christ Himself. The Savior of the world, the one in which we celebrate His birth tomorrow. The greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth was the man, Jesus Christ. Sinless, spotless lamb. Born in a manger. If you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior, today will be the greatest day of your life. The power of sin will be broken off of your life. He'll give you a hope and a future. You may be struggling with a lot of things, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows. I want to ask you, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I pray you do so now. I pray you make an appointment with Almighty God. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's a future and a hope with your name on it. If you've never asked Him into your heart, every head bow, every eye closed. It's a simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you rose again. Thank you for saving me now. I am saved. I am born again because I have Jesus in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Some today made the greatest decision of their life. The best decision they've ever made. And the power of hell was just broken off of your life. And you became a new creation. Jesus was birthed on the inside of you. And His joy and His peace will never leave you from this day forward. Hallelujah. I want to thank those for joining us online. Merry Christmas. Have a great Christmas. We love you. but for each and every person sitting here under the sound of my voice. I want this to be the greatest Christmas you